Hey, it's always good to be here. It's always good to see you guys. My name is Fernando, for those that are new. I'm originally from Mexico. I'm Australian, and I'm married to a beautiful Dutch girl. Have two kids that were born in Germany. So, you know, we live an interesting situation in our family. We always have the United Nations, and we believe that our kids maybe will marry someday someone from Africa or I don't know where, China. Why not? You know, we can travel everywhere in the world and there's no problem. But, you know, we're glad to be here. And today I'm going to talk to you a little bit about sort of a taste of what we're preparing for us for next on the 21st and during the relationship seminar. Because we really want to talk about relationships. We believe as church that one of the key fundamentals in our lives is relationships. And this is not only for married people, people that are going to date. It's actually for everyone. If you are here and you want to talk about friendships, or if you want to talk about marriage, or if you want to talk about dating, or you want to talk about everything, everything in our lives, it's created from relationships. The relationships, it's been proven that the relationships that we have in our lives will determine our future. I don't know if you're aware, but there's been many studies done that our lives will mirror the closest five friends that we have around us. So what we do with our friends, the people that we choose to marry, the people that we choose to hang out with, will determine our future. And I don't know if you understand the importance of that, because family, we cannot decide. Sadly, no one, you know, God doesn't tell you, oh, which one do you like? Okay, pick that one. Okay, go there. I wish we could. You know, but family, we were born into it. So we need to learn to love them. Although sometimes it's hard, we need to learn to love them. But what we are able to choose is who we hang out with, the relationships that we have. Who do we marry? Who do we date? Who do we do life together with? And some of the times that we have to think, and I know, you know, coming from Mexico, where it's a country where everyone is friends of everyone, one of the things that we got in our marriage always is that I could go around everywhere. And when we were in Australia, in Hillsong College, you know, one of the things that my wife always told me is like, why do you say that everyone is your friend? You're like, well, I'm from Mexico. You know, I'm Mexican. Everyone is our friend. You know, you met them for 5 minutes. It's our friend. You know, they invite us for dinner or we invite them for dinner. It doesn't matter. You know, in Mexico, if you throw a party, you have to invite only half of the amount of people that you want to host, because there's another half that is going to show up without you even knowing them. They invite their friends. And that's popular. I know for the Dutch, that's like, what the heck? You know, like, you have the invitation. Where's your invitation? Like, I don't even, Mexico's normal. I don't even know you, but I'm glad that you're here. So that's what the sort of thing. So, but you know, friendships are very important for us. They are relevant. And that's why we believe that we need to speak about relationships in church. Because sadly, and that's something that we've seen, now we can hear relationship teaching from the wrong sources. You know, Netflix is going crazy teaching about relationships. And sadly, it's going teaching really weird stuff. You know, if you watch some of the series that take, okay, yeah, you know, there's a couple of series that are like, whoa, you know, I don't want my 12, 13-year-old looking at these shows that are talking about sex and about relationships. And in a way that when you see, you know, you cannot even watch for 5 minutes because you're like, what the heck? Yeah, I won't want my 12-year-old to watch this. So by the way, that's what we believe is so important, because relationships are so crucial, and what you do in your life with your relationships are going to determine so much of what you can do in your life. That's what we believe. We're in a church where people can be the biggest cheerleaders of everyone. So because we believe that when we do life together with people that are positive, that are thinking the best from you, and that want the best for you, that's the way, you know, the environment that just God can create something incredible. So that's the type of church that we have. Some of the people that come for the first time, they said, your church is too friendly. Like, I don't know what that means. How can you be too friendly? You know, like, everyone hugs you, and everyone says, like, hey, how are you? How's it like? And then people are like, it's too friendly. what? You know, what do you mean? But we want to create a friendship relationship, a positive environment, because the world out there is actually telling us all the time all the things that are wrong and all the negative things. And sadly, you know, for the Dutch, if you look into the environment, they tend to be a little bit like, oh, you know, the sun is shining. Oh, the sun's too shiny. The rain is raining. Oh, the rain is too rainy. The cold is too cold. You know, and we go to work like, oh, we can see 10 positive things, and we look at the one negative thing. Because we tend to think, and it's not only the Dutch, everywhere in the world is pretty much like that. We tend to look at the negative. So we want to create an environment when we talk about relationships and when we are positive about what is happening in our lives. Because God wants the best for every single one of us. So God wants the best for you. He's not giving you the leftovers. He's not a God of the second chance. Well, sorry, he's a God of the second chances, but he's not a God of the second line, plan Bs or plan Cs or plan, what, my last plan. You know, he's a plan A, best plan for you. And we're going to talk about relationships and how they work. So really, what I want to talk to you about today is what we call the Walt Disney syndrome. Because for us, and I don't always have a very fancy name, but when it comes to relationships, we've been influenced, and I just put there Walt Disney because I have two small children, and they're girls, so we always watch these movies that come from Walt Disney. And the Walt Disney syndrome is the idea that when we meet people, either the people that we're going to marry or the friends that we're going to pick, we need to pick the right person. And when you find the right person, then your life is complete. And you think like, oh, you know what? I go through life looking for the right person. And once I marry that, or once I find the right friend, or once I find the right person, the right princess or the prince, then my life is going to be amazing. And a lot of people are developing their lives thinking like, oh, yeah, if I meet this person, then now I'm going to be happy. I'm miserable now. But if I meet the right person, I'm going to be happy. And I'm telling you something, sadly. I don't know how many married people are here, but if you ask a married person, they're probably going to tell you, when they met, it was amazing. But when they got married for a couple of months, then the amazing things, sort of the spell broke. And the happily ever after is not happily ever after. It's we're going to make it work, and we're going to make it happy, because it's hard work. But it's the fun of being married. But if you're going through life thinking like, oh, I don't have a boyfriend, or I don't have a girlfriend, or I don't have a friend. If I'm married, I know that my life is going to be transformed. Yeah. But the question is, how is that going to be transformed? It's not sadly not going to be the Disney principle of it. It's going to be the real life principle of it. And that's why it's so important. So one of the thoughts that I want you to take with is the present situation, the decisions that you're making now on your relationship life, any relationship, they're going to haunt you in your future. They're going to haunt you in whatever you're going to do in your future. So a lot of people think, now it's like, oh, well, it doesn't matter. The world is teaching us, oh, it doesn't matter. You can go and look for everyone, serial daters. You know, how many serial daters do we have here? No, don't raise up your hand. You know? Like, yeah. But, you know, people that go like, oh, I want to test this one, and I'm going to test that one. And we treat dating or relationships like you are in a coffee shop picking different types of coffee. And you think, oh, maybe I'll try the cappuccino now, and maybe I'll try now, this type and this type. And I'll see which one I like better, and then I'll choose. But when you do that, you need to understand that whatever decision you make now, it's going to come and haunt you in your future. When you decide to go for the right one, and we'll talk about the right one in a bit, for the person that you chose to do it with, that process that you followed before is going to come and haunt you in your future. Because then is when you form mindsets and you form principles. Oh, and then you're going to compare. You know, the more people you think, oh, but this was perfect. Oh, but I want one that the first one had, but the second is more romantic, and the third one is more attentive, but the fourth one has more money. Then, you know, and then you're like, well, God, can you please send me the one combination of the last four that I've dated? That's the perfect. Then I'm happy. And then God sent you the combination, and then you're like, oh no, I actually like the first one because it was more romantic. And you're like, what the heck? And God is telling you, what's happening with you? You know, so what we have to think is the way we choose our future, or the decisions that we make now, is what is going to determine our future. The way of friendships, the friendships that we have now. If you have friends that are positive, that are, you know, believing the best for you, that are entrepreneurial, and that they're about building up something, that's going to be automatically instilled in you and say, hey, I also want to do it. But if you have friends that are like, oh, don't worry, let's just hang out, let's do nothing, let's not do pushing through life, then you are going to generate exactly the same mindset. So that's why it's so important, the decisions you make today, to become the better for the future. So in order to go back to the principles, and that, you know, we're going through Keep It Simple. And what I love about the Word of God is that God is a simple God. He's as complex as you can be, but also he's as simple as you can think. So some of the principles, very simple principles that God has from the Word of God about relationships. The first principle is we were created for relationships. From the beginning, the idea of the humanity is to have healthy relationships. So that's the first thing. We were created by a God to have healthy relationships. And you see in Genesis 1:27, it says, so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God is a God that wants to share the way he is, because he wanted to create us as humans so that we can reflect who he is. And the second thing, it says in Genesis 2:18, so the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. You know what is funny? In the whole creational process, the only thing, you know, God goes and say and looks around and says, like, and every time that God creates something, he looks around and says, and God saw that it was good. And then it was another day. And then he looked, you know, he turns the trees, and God saw that it was good, and he turned to it. But here is the first time in the Bible that is mentioned that it says, oh, it's actually not good. So he creates the man, and he's like, oh, it's actually not good that he's alone. It's the first time that something appears that says, God says, oh, it's actually not good for men to be alone. I will create someone to help them. Now here it's, of course, talking about sort of a partner that is a female. But if we put it together to our lives, it's like God, we are not supposed to do life alone. It's not good for us. You know, we've been talking a lot about the biggest sickness in our country, one of the biggest, highest levels is depression. And the reason, one of the highest reasons for depression is loneliness. Again, you know, we've been saying it a lot. Social media tends to give us the idea that we're connected, but we're not connected. And that's why God says it's not good for men to be alone. It's not good for females to be alone. Not good for God. It's important that we do life together, because we were created at the image of what God creates. But look what is happening around the world. The world is telling you, oh, you know, you have to look like Brangelina. Do you know what Brangelina is? You know, Brad Pitt and Angelina, when they were together. And I was like the example. Oh, but my God, when you bring me my Brad Pitt or my Angelina, you know, I'm going to be Brangelina. And look at where Brangelina is now. Divorce. Broken relationships. You know, we think, oh, on the outside, they look so pretty. They're going to have cute babies. That's what is important. No. Yeah, God brings you cute babies, that's great. But the important thing is, who are we hanging out with, and what's the reason why we do it? Because sadly, the current way of thinking is looking at what is going to fulfill my needs so that I can be happier, so I can be better. So the normal world is telling you, the media is telling you, you have to find the perfect one. You know, and you look into, oh, does he have money? Does he have the looks? Does he look pretty? Does it, you know, is it this type of person? Is it that type of person? That's what is going to fulfill you. But the Word of God says totally different things. The Word of God says, look at first at the kingdom of God and everything will be added. So who do we have to look for? The one that has the Ferrari or the, you know, the big house and the six pack and the super nice body? Do you know that the body is gonna in 10 years? Once you married? Once you met, not even 10, you know? It lasted us 1 week. But you know. Or honeymoon in Mexico, that was it. No. But listen. If we focus on what is external, on what is not necessary, what we're going to get is something that is not necessary. And we're going to be miserable. But the world is telling you whatever satisfies you is what you need. And the Word of God says, first, let God satisfy you. Find your identity in who you are. And once you're satisfied, then the best person will come around you. Because it's not about finding someone else. It's not about finding the best friends. It's not about finding the best boyfriend or the best girlfriend or even the best wife. You know, which one is the best wife? The ones you chose. You know, you chose it. The best husband, you chose it. God didn't choose it for you. God put it in front of you. And then you go, oh, I like it. You know? And then he causes a few things that to happen to say like, okay, well, there's a few options. Okay, well, I like this option, you know. And then you are the one that decides. God doesn't decide for you. And that's where, you know, a lot of conversations happen at church. They're like, oh, but which one do I decide for? It's like, well, look at long-term perspective. Look at what the person is doing right now. Is it going? Is it really a fulfilled person? Is it a holistic person? Is it really fulfilling the standard of principles or non-negotiables in life that is going to take you to your life future perspective? Is it improving your future? Is it cheering you up to say, you are the best that I can find and we together are going to take on the world? You know? Doesn't matter if it's smaller than you. It's good that my wife thought that, because I am smaller. But you know, the Disney concept tells you is you have to find first the princess, the prince. And the Word of God says is you have to become first the prince or the princess. You know, when you watch Beauty and the Beast, which we just watch with the girls. If you look at the beast, well, what happened to him? Well, he was superficial, and he was full of, you know, all superficial people. And he was until someone said, like, oh, this is not good. I'm going to make you ugly, that no one likes you. And until someone falls in love with you, then you're going to break that curse. Well, you know, if you put it into the Bible perspective, it's the same. We're all beasts. We are. Although some of us look cuter than others. No, everyone is cute in the kingdom of God. You know, come on. I've learned that. You travel the world and you're like, oh, wow. You know, God makes a difference because everyone likes different things. Even though the world says this is the standard, God says everything is the standard. That's a cool thing. You know, but the idea of these relationships is if I marry the right person, my life is going to be fantastic. The idea of God is saying become the right person so that you can make someone else's life fantastic, which is a totally different principle. But it's so simple. First, become the right person so that the right person that comes to you is actually the right person. You know, one of the funny things in the relationship, and the next point, you know, that is very important. The key to successful relationships is to find our identity in Christ and live a holistic life. You know, if you want to find the person that fulfills you the best, become first the person that fulfills the best in others. Because we go through life and we are living in a society that is all about me. Me, 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 me. I want this. I want that. You know, I want to get this. I want to get that. And the more I get, the more happy I'm going to be. But you know what's happening? People are miserable. The more they get, they want more. The more they have, they want more. But the Word of God says, the more you give, the more you're happier you become. The more you give to others, the more you live your life for others, the more you are going to be fulfilled. It doesn't add up to what we're getting from the media. It doesn't add up to the Disney story. Because the Word of God says, I want the best for you. And the best for you is to become a difference for someone else's life. And in marriage, you know, we've been married for 13 years. And it happens to a lot of people. For those that are getting married, I know quite a few guys are getting married. If you think that when you're getting married, your life is going to be beautiful, and, you know, your husband is going to wake up and make coffee for you in the morning, not moody at all, you know, and your wife is going to wake up and give you a kiss. Oh, beautiful husband, I'm so in love with you. And that's going to be forever. I said to tell you, it lasts for only a month. You know, as soon as you push the toothpaste the wrong way, you will find out. Or, as soon as you put the toilet paper in the wrong way, you will also find out. You know, that's the big dilemmas of relationships. How do you push the toothpaste? How do you put the toilet paper? That's, you know, but you will find out that unless you are fulfilled, no one else will be fulfilling you. But I know a lot of 18, 19 years old, 20 years old, saying, oh, but I need a boyfriend. Oh, but I need a boyfriend. Or I need a girlfriend. I need someone. And you know what? I was one of them. When I was 18, I was so broken inside that I was looking for acceptance everywhere. And thank God I had amazing leaders and amazing family, and my parents were so, but I was broken. And I was 18 and looking for acceptance and love. And I started looking. And I always, I don't know how, but God is gracious with me. I always got the cutest girls, you know? Because for me, it was like, oh, yeah, I need to get the cutest girl. Doesn't matter what it takes. So I went, and I thought, for me, it was the most important thing. But it took the time for God to say, this is not what I want for you. Because the cutest girl is not going to make you happy. You know, I was together with people that you would tell them, I want to travel the world, and I want to go here, and I want to go there, and I want to see the kingdom of God expanded. And I would tell people my relationships, those things, and they would be like, huh? I want to stay here. I don't want to go anywhere. I love my family. Like, yeah, I love my family, but if I'm 2,000 kilometers away, I love them more. So you know, it's like, God, and I was miserable, and because I was miserable, I was looking at something else. And because I was looking at something else, I messed up so many people's lives because I was not ready. So I became someone that I was not ready, and you end up messing up so many people. And breaking hearts, and breaking relationships, and friendships, and picking the wrong friends. Because I was trying to fulfill myself. And it was until the realization that God says, you know what? This is who you are in Christ. This is who you need to be. It took me ages to find it. I had to give away everything I had in my country to realize that God had something better for me. I had to give away my business, my lifestyle, my situation. And God put me in a position where I had nothing. I had no business. I had nothing. In fact, I was paying college tuition again. I was hanging out with 18-year-olds, which was horrible. Not that 18-year-olds are horrible, by the way. But when you are, you know, when you're 26 and you've done life, I was teaching at university. I was not teaching. Now I was, you know, I was learning again. I was in that environment. And I was, God, why did you remove me? Why did I do? But God told me, this is what you need. Because I need you to find me, not in what you have, not in who you're with, not in who your friends are, but in who you are with me. So that's the first thing and the most important thing that we need to find out. God created us at his image. And unless we find ourselves in his image, everything that comes around us is not going to be persevering in the world. You can have the biggest six-pack in your life. It's not going to make you happy. Probably going to make someone else happy, but not you. Because, you know, it's not about the six-pack. It's good to be healthy. Don't get me wrong. You know, I wish I had a six-pack. I had only in my fridge the six-pack. But look, you know, if you are about making life, it's about you becoming the best person. It's about me making myself the best person available. Because when you run your race, when you run to the fullest, when you are satisfied, when you're happy about being single and being yourself and having the best life, the best time of your life, guess what happens? You find other people running as fast as you. And then is whether, you know, when you're running fast, then you're like, but just keep running. And the faster you run, the more you run for your life, for your calling, for what you have done, is when people that are around you is going to come, is like, oh, he's looking cute. Oh, that, oh, you know, we're running the same race. And it's when life becomes different. I met my wife, you know, when we were, I was not looking. I was happy. I was like, for the first time in my life, I'm like, ooh, I'm happy. You know, I'm happy being single. I'm happy running for what God has for my life. I'm happy doing what I had. I didn't have that much money, but I was happy like never before. And it was until I was not even thinking about someone else that God chose someone. And they're like, ooh, that looks cute. In fact, we looked at each other and we started fighting. That's the first thing. But we became very good friends first. And we find out, like, hey, you know what? We're going in the big direction. And that's what I mean. You start running life, and then you start finding people that want to run with you. And they say, like, oh, wow, would you like to travel the world? Yeah, me too. Oh, that's amazing. What would you like to do? Oh, building the kingdom and doing this and dreaming big. And like, whoa, I would love to do that. And I will help to help you. And I would love to do that. You know, but sometimes we have relationships when it's like, hey, I would love to do this and that. And the person is saying, oh, what for? No, that's horrible. I don't want to do that. And we set up to say, like, oh, you know what? I have to be the dragging. You know how when you drag a donkey, I don't know how many people, you don't have that many donkeys in the Netherlands. So I don't know how many people have tried to move a donkey when they don't want to move. It's horrible, man. Like, you know, when you try to do it, like, you can do whatever they want. If they don't want to move, they don't want to move. And sometimes we have donkey relationships. Not that they are donkeys, you know. But, you know, sometimes we're like, oh, pulling, like, oh, come on. You know, I want to grow my business. Oh, I want to study out something else. Oh, I want to put for church. Oh, come on, I want to pick new friends. I want to grow into my relationship. And the donkey does not move. And then you say, like, oh, I'd rather stay with the donkey because the donkey likes me. When in reality, what God is saying, hey, maybe if it's time to let off, maybe the donkey will get it and run with you, or you just go for it and find something else. Because the first thing you need to find is who you are, because that's the most important thing. And now, how do you become the right person? Because this is the key. Again, keep it simple. How do you become the first thing? So first, you find your identity in Christ. And the second thing, you become the most lovable person in the world. You know that I have met people that on the looks on the outside are like, ooh, God was not very gracious with you. But on the but and they know, don't worry about it. So they yeah, but that, but on the inside, they're so full of what they know and their calling that they're so attractive. Everyone wants to hang out with them because they know who they are. So let's make today the decision that the best thing that we can do is become the right person. Because the moment the right person comes, it's only going to look for right people the same as you. If you're not on the right position, the right person might pass you because you're not on the right position. So that's very important. So how do I become the right person? You know, very simple recipe. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 and 7. This is normally spoken in many, you know, weddings and things like that. But if we put it into relationships, this is friendships. This is dating. This is, you know, everything. What does the Bible say? Well, love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boast or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It's not irritable. And it keeps no record of being wrong. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith. It's always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. It is simple. Well, written, not to do it, but it is simple. If you just, instead of put love there, if you put your name, in front of that, so instead of love, you know, in my case, I put Fernando is patient and kind. Ooh. You know, am I patient? Am I willing to wait? You know, am I willing to wait until God says this is the right time? Or am I forcing everything? Am I kind? Do I treat everyone with respect? Do I treat my wife, my kids, my family with respect? You know, one of the best things to do when you want to try to find the right partner, friends, or dating relationships is to see how they treat the dad or the mom. If you want to see your future on how it's going to treat you as a husband, have a look at how he treats the dad. Because it's going to tell you a lot about the future. You know, if the wife is like, oh, dad, no, you're dumb. Oh, your dad, no, you're horrible. Oh, no, dad. It's not going to take long until you replace that. So it's one important thing. Are you kind? Do you treat everyone with respect? The next thing is not jealous. He's secure about himself or herself. You know, jealousy is very normal. Like, oh, but what if someone comes and steals you? I'm jealous because I love you so much. And some people are like, oh, I love that he's jealous or she's jealous. It's because she loves me. No, that's not true. He's jealous because she doesn't love herself that much or he doesn't love himself that much. It's not because of you. It's because of him. Why would you pick to be with someone that is going to be screaming at you just because you tried to live your life bigger? He's jealous about my job, my friends, my church, my situation. He wants me to be with him or with her all the time. He loves me so much. No, he doesn't. He just wants you to satisfy something that he's missing. So that, you know, is not proud. Are you able to be humble? Are we able to be humble? Or do you think, oh, you're the best. You know everything. You can do everything. It's not possible. It's not rude. That's interesting in the Netherlands. It's not rude. You know, knows how to communicate and cares for others. It's very important. How do you communicate? How do we go about living life with others and communicate with others? It does not demand its own way. You're being flexible. You're being different. You know, flexibility, very important. And if you want a good, friend, a good husband, wife, dating, you know, someone, pick someone that is able to be flexible. Someone that can plan, but also can say, baby, I don't have a plan today. Let's do something fun and just do it. You know, not like 3 months from now, make an appointment. From 10 to 12, we're going to do something fun. What? Oh, I don't know. We're going to be flexible. Like, that's not flexible, you know. Like, put it on your agenda. Oh, no, just be flexible, you know. Not irritable. How do you manage your emotions? You know, how does he manage his emotions or her emotions? It's someone screaming at you all the time or screaming at people. You know, sooner or later, it's going to turn into you or your kids or your family. You know, it's just able to rejoice for other people's wins. So the truth is that it's simple, but it's not easy. It's not the same thing. Because we need first a relationship with God for us to become like that. There's no other way. You can try to be nice. You can try to be faithful. You can try to be loving as much as you can. But unless you have an identity in your Creator, we're never going to become that person. In fact, it's a journey. And I'm not going to tell you that you're going to get there, but the fact that we have is the fun. That we're living a life where we say, I'm going for it. I'm going on a journey of becoming that person. I'm going on a journey of becoming love, of taking care of my family, taking care of my relationships. So, to close this, one of the best advices, and this is, no one knows where this comes from. It's a very interesting advice. No one knows where this comes from, but a lot of preachers have used it. So I thought, oh, it's funny, it's interesting. So biblical advice for people. This is, in the Bible, there's this person called Ruth, for those that don't know. And Ruth is a girl, and he was waiting always for the right guy and how the right guy had to go. The right guy is called Boaz. And and she was beautiful, and the Bible is very specific. Ruth was beautiful, you know. When she walks like, ooh, Angelina Jolie, come on, nothing. You know, Ruth's girl. She was beautiful, but she was waiting until the right person arrived because she knew she was the right person already, so she had that in mind. So, you know, Ruth was patiently waiting for Boaz. But the best biblical advice that I saw is while you're waiting for your Boaz, don't settle for any of his relatives. Broke ass, poor ass, lying ass, cheating ass, dumb ass, drunk ass, cheap ass, locked up ass or in jail, good for nothing ass, lazy ass, and especially his third cousin beating your ass. Wait on your Boaz and make sure he respects your ass. All right? It might not be very biblical, but it's just good. You know, but hey, Why are we living our life, wasting our life sometimes, trying to find or just hooked up in the wrong places? Why are we wasting our time, you know, trying to find commitment in the Disney world? Oh, when my prince comes in. Or if you're married, it's like, oh, you know, oh, well, I didn't pick the right prince to turn into a frog. It was the other way around. But that boyfriend that I had 10 years ago, maybe if I contact on Facebook, because that was the right one. You know what happens? You tend to look at somewhere else. But what we need to look is on ourselves. How am I becoming the right person? And that's really the principle of relationships. Run your race. You know, God has the best for you. God has dreams that you cannot even imagine. God has a future that you cannot even see. And what we need to move, oh, you probably have to take that because otherwise people are going to be like, what? But what we have to see is that we need to move according to what God has called us to do. And my friend, I'm not telling you that if you're married and you think, oh, this was the wrong person, well, now I have to break up the relationship and get, no way. First become you and then let God take care of the other person because he will. But my recommendation today is in any relationship, in friendships, in relationships between partners, in social areas, we were created to be in relationship, but less, we were also created with wisdom to pick the right people. And if your friends at this season are not running your race, it might be a good time. And that's the sacrifice that we had to make as a couple. We had amazing friends for a season. But at some point, we started running somewhere where God called us to do. And our friends didn't want to. And it was a conflict. Oh, you're going to church too much. Oh, you're taking too much on this. Oh, you're spending too much time on that. And they start telling you, oh, you probably shouldn't do this. Oh, you don't love us that much anymore. And we just had to turn around and say, like, look, guys, this is what we're called to do. We don't call for small lives. We call for big lives. I'm sorry, but this is where we're going. We love you, but if you don't want to be that person, I will have to sacrifice our relationship for the sake of my future. And that's sometimes hard, and I understand. But I can tell you, the freedom that comes with knowing that some friends, some relationships are just for a season. And then when your season comes, you can release someone. Hey, if you live for your dreams, just look at what God can do. So that's my challenge for you today. Find your identity in Christ. And second thing, become the bright person, the best person that you would love to marry. If you would look at your mirror and say, baby, I love you. You look so good. Not only what you look, but you think so well. You're positive. Your mindset. You're connected to God's future. Baby, you are beautiful. And the time that you can look at the mirror and say that to yourself, that is when it's like, whoa, okay, I'm ready to find someone else. Because don't wait for that to happen. And for someone else to satisfy what you don't have. So that's very important. So while we're in this environment, I would like to pray. I would like to pray for a group of people that are here. For the people that are maybe in relationships or want to be in relationships. Or maybe the people that haven't found their identity in Christ. And haven't found what they are and who they are. So I'm going to pray for you. So that you can find peace, you can find the wisdom, you can find the ability to say, God, you're following together. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you for the amazing people that we have here. But today, God, we pray that as we have people around us, as we have friends, as we have partners, as we have people that live around us, God, I pray right now that you will give us the ability, the wisdom to pick the right way. And to know, God, that it's not about what they do, but about what you have done for me. And to know, God, that for us, the important thing is to find who we are in you. To find our future, our perspective. And it's not about pulling someone else or trying to convince someone else. But it's about what you have. And I know that you will bring the right relationships when we're running for future. We pray, God, in Jesus' name, that everyone that is here for marriages, to be restored right now in Jesus' name. Even when people go and pull apart and they start thinking about them separately, we pray in Jesus' name that right now the unity is going to come, that the dreams are going to come back again as a couple, as a family. And we pray for every relationship that is here. People that are engaged, people that are thinking about engagement, we pray, God, that you will give us the ability to know that first we need to find out who we are. And know who the other, how the other person is going to fulfill us, God. We thank you, God, for that. In Jesus' name, amen.